Okay. We're ready. We're ready.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Court of Appeals is now in session. The first item of business is we have some minutes to approve. The first is approval of minutes from the June 1st meeting, which was mostly a close executive session.
I make a motion. We approve the minutes of June 1st, 2010.
Second.
Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay. Next, we have the minutes from July 7th, 2010.
Well, I'll make a motion. I didn't get here for most of the meeting.
You were here for just.
Yes.
Yeah.
I got here at 7:57.
Right.
That's fine.
Well. Make a motion we approve the minutes on July 7th.
I second it.
You all in favor?
Aye.
Okay. Now, next is the September 9th meeting.
Oh. I'll make a motion again to approve the minutes of. Of September the 9th, 2010.
I'll second it.
All in favor?
Aye.
Okay.
Do you want to do that at the end, the rules of procedure in the calendar?
Can we why don't we do that at the end?
Okay. That's why I had it on the.
We don't hold this up. Yeah.
So, would you like me to introduce the first one?
Before that, I just wanted to comment on the settlement agreement and release of the Archstone Woodfield Investments situation. It's a little unusual in the sense that appeals are frequently taken from the board when they go to court. But the board isn't really an entity that should be involved. We were in one case because we had both the Planning Commission and the board involved with our separate attorneys. Normally what happens is the city attorney files a motion in court to have the city substituted for the board because it's basically really the city. In this particular case, they didn't do that, so someone ended up signing on behalf of the board.
Okay.
I have no comment on that publicly.
Thank you for the explanation, Chairman Kay.
Okay, so we have a continuation of the public hearing A. 545 for a variance. And Kirk, would you make a brief
Sure. Application A545 by John and Janine Mertz. This is a continuation from the last meeting of September 9th. And this application requests a 17-foot variance of the required 30-foot front yard setback to permit the construction of a two-car garage. And it also is requesting a 7.6-foot variance of the required 30-foot rear yard to permit the continuation of an existing sunroom and jacuzzi room, and requests a 10-foot variance of the required 10-foot side yard setback to permit the continuation of an existing deck at 1 Michelle Court, Gaithersburg, Maryland. The property is located in the R90 zone with setbacks as required by Section 24-32C of the City of Gaithersburg Zoning Ordinance, also known as Chapter 24 of the City Code. And I believe that both Mr. and Mrs. Mertz are here tonight, if they wanted to come up. And from the last meeting, the board had requested some additional information.
Yes.
And the Mertz has provided that, and is in your packets, just to let you know.
Are you both going to be speaking, or swear you both in then?
Okay.
Okay. Do you solemnly swear and affirm under the penalties of perjury that the testimony you are about to give in this matter shall be the truth and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Okay. The floor is yours.
Okay, so just as Kirk explained, what we would like to do is build a two-car garage on the side of our house. We need a variance for the setback because there's a 30, we're on a corner lot, so we, I guess, have two front yards, two 30-feet setbacks.
Right.
So we're requesting a variance so we can put a garage on the side. We have one teenage, one 21-year-old daughter. We have a lot of cars. It would alleviate street parking. There's another home in our neighborhood that has one that looks very nice, and I'm not sure what to add. We have talked to our neighbors. We did have a neighbor here at the last meeting. We think it's going to look nice. It's going to We have a lot of trees on that side of the lot, and the driveway will run parallel to our neighbor's driveway. And even with the trees there, he's hardly going to even see where the garage and the driveway will be placed. And then as far as the second part of the variance, when we bought the house in 1998, there was a porch and a screened-in porch and then a flat deck on the back of the house already. And we learned through Kirk, as we applied for the garage variance, that there was no variance applied for those. So they're already there.
One important point about the deck that's on the property line that will require a full 10-foot variance is the deck is only 2 feet off the ground. It's not a large imposing structure on the neighbors.
Pleased to see that you indicated where the pictures were taken. It's helpful to
kind of
put it together on our heads. I'm looking at Exhibit 10, second page of Exhibit 10.
Unfortunately, I don't know what Exhibit 10
is. Okay.
But if you just tell me what's on it.
Yeah. Well, Kirk can bring it up on the screen for you.
Okay.
Yeah, we only have two chairs.
What's the title of Exhibit 10?
Architectural elevations showing postage shipments.
They're numbered differently on the PDF file.
Oh, I just hit that button.
Okay.
It takes a longer, but it's a little different. Actually, should take that one.
Okay. Is it this?
Oh, I see.
Chairman,
we're going with those numbers.
Okay. There you go.
That number 10.
Yeah, you want the next page of it.
Okay. Number 10. He's good.
Yeah, that's it.
Is this it?
Can you shift it to the right? Because what I want to talk about isn't on there yet.
Oh, it's incorporated.
There's structure to the right of it. No. If you can click above that list, the index,
mm-hmm.
up at the top of it, go to the right, above there.
Oh, here?
See that? No.
The full screen. No.
You see those little icons above the index?
Uh-huh.
There's three little colored icons.
Up here?
No.
No, down.
Right above the index. Right there, okay. Just above there,
mm-hmm.
there's a little thingy. Put to the right, go to the right.
This?
There's an icon. No, there's an icon there.
This little arrow, maybe?
This one?
Yeah.
The document icon?
That? You want to get rid of the bookmark?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, it didn't. That was supposed to make a difference. And it won't shift. Can you? That's 100%. Can you make it like 75%?
Yeah, that has to do with these screens. I guess they're not set up to stretch. Because this screen is actually smaller than these. I don't know why they did that. They should have been this.
Oh, and you can't change it from 100% to...
No. No, but I could zoom in, like,
oh,
if you wanted
to
zoom in to here.
Oh, you want to do full page like that? You mean that? You want to show on the full? Yeah. Oh, we want to see the whole diagram on the full page. You know how you...
Like that?
Well, they can't. We have it here, but they don't have it there. Is there a handout?
Oh, that is not a good thing.
It's the, Kirk, it's the top, it's the one at, yeah, it's the one at the top up there that says full, like the full page. That it all goes in, the full page goes in the screen
I'm
there.
I'm gonna have to,
There, that's good, right?
I'm gonna have to trick it.
If you do it just a little more, it's showing now, right in the right corner,
I wanna see
what I was looking for, and now it's disappearing.
The garage, like the garage.
I'm trying to size it the right, I didn't realize it was cutting this off. That shouldn't be doing that, I'll talk to our computer staff to make sure that it fixed that.
The new garage.
A little bit embarrassing.
Oh,
that old garage, you didn't supposed to have it there.
Is that the carport, or is that the old?
It doesn't look like
well, before we just have boards. So
oh, not with the garage door on it. So it's under the 12x6 thing. It's right by the downstairs one.
You don't have copies of paper copies?
I do. Do you want to see the paper copy?
No, I want you to be able to see it.
Yeah.
They can see it, actually. I have it.
Yeah,
here.
It looks
oh, okay.
Good here. Yeah.
Okay, if you look all the way to the right, on the right side of the house,
mm-hmm.
I thought there was a carport there. And what I'm looking at there looks like a garage.
Yes, this. That part.
Yeah.
Yes.
We've got the fancy stuff.
Sorry.
Yes, I believe it was enclosed probably right after it was built. I mean, it looked like it was not too far, too long after it was constructed that was actually, that carport was enclosed to be an actual garage. And I know on the documents they submitted, it shows it as a carport. But,
yeah.
You know, based on some other ones in the neighborhood, it looks like that was pretty much done, you know, sometime around the time they were built. So the builder, at that time, the city, you know, did things a little bit differently. So it's likely that the builder just sort of enclosed it, and then the city signed off on it kind of at the same time they were closing out the building permit originally. And they didn't ask for an updated survey, because a lot of times those surveys were done before the house was completely finished, because they just wanted to make sure the wall was in the right way or something along those lines.
Is that one or two car that fit in there?
That's a one car garage.
So basically, you want to put in a second garage. I didn't realize that. Exhibit 7, I guess because of the age, 98, it's showing a shed and a carport.
Yeah, I'm surprised to see that. I mean, it's possible that it was still a carport in 19. I mean, when you guys purchased it, was it already enclosed or was it carport?
It was enclosed.
Right. So it... A lot of times what surveyors do...
You all enclosed it?
No, it was enclosed.
It was enclosed when you got it?
Yeah.
It's very roughly enclosed. It's only siding. There's no electric in it, other than the garage door opener, which comes from the ceiling.
Right.
Other houses in the neighborhood do have a carport, and it is pretty clear that it's the same, that basically the roof was there, and they put a stud wall and 2x4s.
Right, so this surveyor may have just copied an older survey and didn't update the label there for carport. And from the city's perspective, I think with a building permit, you know, to enclose a carport, you basically just get a permit and if you even need a permit to enclose it, you may not, because it may not consider it structural enough or something. Since it's really not holding up anything, it's just.
But it's considered a structure that should be within the.
Correct, and that.
Lot limits, right?
Right, that carport, looking at the drawing here, it appears that carport meets all the required setbacks.
What is it, 10 feet on that side? I mean, that's what the limit is, isn't it?
Right. I think it's actually farther than 10 feet from that side.
I'm pretty sure it's
you
close.
You take 100 to feet minus 37, minus 26, minus 14, minus 12 and a half, which I can't do in my head, but I remember doing that calculation. I believe it was more than 10 feet.
Our first thought was to expand that to a two-car garage, because it's too small is why we want this other garage. But it would be, we'd have to build right to the property line.
Right. In a 1995 decision, the Court of Special Appeals of Maryland handed down a decision called Cromwell v. Ward, in which they set up a standard that's been followed ever since then throughout the state of Maryland.
Okay, is that better?
Yeah.
Probably.
And let me read it to you, because this is the process that we always follow. I'm going to read just two paragraphs directly out of the court's opinion. The variance process is at least a two-step sequential process. The first step requires a finding that the property whereon structures are to be placed or uses conducted is in and of itself unique and unusual in a manner different from the nature of the surrounding properties, such that the uniqueness or peculiarity of the property causes the zoning provision to impact disproportionately upon the property. If this finding cannot be made, the process stops and the variance must be denied. If, however, the first step results in a supportable finding of uniqueness or unusualness, then the second step in the process is taken. The second step is a determination whether an unreasonable hardship or practical difficulty resulting from the disproportionate impact of the ordinance caused by the property's uniqueness exists. And then the court goes on. I won't bother you with the reading of it, but the court does talk about what unique means. And it says, unique does not refer to the extent of improvements upon the property. For zoning purposes, it requires that the subject property have an inherent characteristic not shared by other properties in the area. That is, its shape, topography, subsurface condition, environmental factors, historical significance, access or non-access to navigable waters, practical restrictions imposed by abutting properties, such as obstructions, or such similar restrictions. In respect to structures, it would relate to such characteristics as unusual architectural aspects and bearing of party walls. The uniqueness or peculiarity of the property is one which is not shared by neighboring properties and where the uniqueness of the property results in an extraordinary impact upon it by virtue of the operation of the statute. The uniqueness must exist in conjunction with the ordinance's more severe impact. So, I don't think, you may not have had an idea of exactly what the standard is and how we apply it, but it's the one that we've been using since 1995. And please.
With regard to the uniqueness, our lot is smaller, square footage-wise, than all of the other lots.
So can you get closer to the mic?
Oh, I'm sorry.
I can hear you, but we're not being recorded.
Okay. With regard to uniqueness, our particular lot is smaller than all of the other lots. Square footage-wise, that is one uniqueness of our lot, and also not completely unique, but we are a corner lot, which makes us have setbacks in the front, the back, and the side yard of 30 feet.
Well,
so it
actually, I don't think that's correct, because my impression is when you have two fronts, you can choose which one is to be which of the other two sides is to be considered the side and the back. Well, I don't think it makes a difference here, but
well, we have three 30-foot setbacks instead of two.
But you don't.
A non-corner lot has two 10-foot setbacks, and we can work with a 10-foot setback
yep.
on one of the sides, but we have a 10-foot setback on only one side of our house. That's what he's referring to by the corner lot imposes stricter setback limits, but due to the fact that we have 30-foot setbacks on three sides of our lot.
According, if we wanted to build a garage and not get a variance, we could build a garage in our backyard.
So it would have to be detached.
But it would have to be detached, and it would have to be 10 feet from our neighbors, and it would look odd.
Yeah.
But there's like a way we could get a garage on the lot without a variance, but it just wouldn't be as pleasant looking, appearing.
Mm-hmm.
And the best thing I can come up with for uniqueness is that it is a small lot. It is the smallest lot. I have the square footage here someplace. And if you could count the fact that it's a corner lot, it doesn't make it completely unique, but it's different than most of the lots.
Mm-hmm.
Well, one of the ways it's unique is that the setback limits are intended to protect the neighbors from us
right.
building an imposing structure overshadowing their property. And we've selected this side because it doesn't impose on the neighbors. It faces the street. Again, that goes back to it being a corner lot, but the structure would in no way impose on the neighbors.
Mm-hmm. Question. You have Exhibit 9 handy?
Yes, Exhibit.
Because we have Michelle Court and was that Cullen Drive? And so looking at that, there's one boundary on the left and one on the right, and my understanding is either one of those can be considered one. They have a choice as to which one would be considered a side, which one would be considered a rear.
That's correct, but because
doesn't
of
help
the
them here because
existing
they want it
carport, this distance here is just, it's a little bit more than 10 feet, so the distance between the existing carport and the side yard, so, or, and the property line, so, you know.
Doesn't make a difference.
Right, yeah. Basically that side yard's already been established as being that particular yard, which means that the other yard has to be the 30-foot rear yard,
right.
The one, you know, back here has to be within the 30 feet.
Yeah.
Do you have any questions you want to ask me? I'm sorry, did you finish with your presentation?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I thought I had the board ask a question.
Petitioner statement. It said that there was a the previous owner had built some improvements and violated setback limits.
Yes.
Does the units that were constructed did they have to have a work permit? Did it come under the category of a work permit?
There should have been building permits for the jacuzzi room and the screen porch, and there should have been a deck permit for the deck. But we couldn't find those in our records. Now, it's possible that they received them and the city lost the records, but we couldn't find them. So it's hard to say. Our assumption is that there were no permits, but and we did send an inspector out to look at the structures. Make sure they're, you know, not going to fall down or anything. Of course, they've been there since at least 1998, so it's, you know, likely that they were built pretty well. So, and that the inspector didn't find any structural issues with them. So.
Do they need a clearance? I'm saying clearance, but a work permit at this time to make sure it's covered, I mean, that it's done according to the code?
No. Again, one of the inspectors did go out to look at it to make sure that there wasn't any, you know, major issues with either the structures or with the deck. And they determined that they looked like they were constructed correctly, and that there was not, you know, any reason to do a more thorough investigation. If they had found something they thought was, you know, if they had seen something sagging or if they'd seen something that looked like it was leaning, then they may have required, you know, a more thorough investigation, you know, where they would have had to remove some wall material to look at how it was constructed. But they didn't do that. So they felt it was, you know, constructed well enough that it wasn't going to, you know, fall down.
Would they have required the previous owner, not the people here, for the construction of those, would they have required a variance?
Had they applied for a building permit, it's likely, and this is why the staff doesn't believe they applied for one, it's likely that the person reviewing the building permit would have given it to a zoning person to look at it to make sure it complied with the zoning requirements. And the zoning person would have looked at what was proposed and would have realized that, you know, it's not meeting the zoning requirements because of the 30-foot rear yard, and would have said, well, if you want to proceed, you'll have to get a variance. But again, there's no record of a previous variance, so
right.
That's why staff believes they did not apply for a building permit.
Well, this variance requested, would that cover that pre-existing condition?
Right, that was what staff had suggested to the applicants. Once we realized that there was another issue, we suggested that they, you know, ask for an additional variance for the existing structures, just so that they're in compliance with the, with the zoning portion of it.
I haven't noticed I just hear the reference to the carport, or the garage, I'm sorry.
Right.
And nothing being said about the...
In their petition, they're requesting the variance from the front yard setback, and that's for the garage. And they're also requesting a variance in the rear yard for the jacuzzi room and the screen porch in the back. And then they're requesting a side yard variance for the wood deck. And staff actually looked at that. I don't think they actually need a full 10 feet on the side yard. I think a deck is allowed to extend into a side yard setback a certain amount of feet, and I actually was going to look that up. So I don't think they need the full 10 feet for that. And the decks are not subject to the rear yard setback in the same way, that they can build at a certain amount into that setback.
I may not have been thorough enough. I don't recall seeing in the resolution where they're mentioned about the pre-existing.
It's actually on my paper. It's on the reverse side. My petitioner's statement is like a page and a quarter, and it's on the reverse side at the top. I can read it to you if you would like.
Is that the paragraph during the process of applying for this variance?
Yes.
That's what you requested. But
what exhibit are you looking at? There's a second. There's a second resolution. Oh, you're looking at her statement.
Yes.
Oh.
Then I didn't see that.
You got to look at the second one, 26. Is that the one you're looking at? Exhibit 26.
Yes.
Because there's an earlier one that may be different wording.
Yeah.
That's the one you're looking at.
In this resolution here, it covers the pre-existing.
August 17th, so that's it, on the back of it.
Yes, if you look at the page 2, right above where it says relevant statutory provisions, the two paragraphs up.
Okay.
Merchants testified that they requested. This one.
Okay. I stand corrected on that.
Yeah, it's page 2 of Exhibit 6, actually.
Yeah.
Got it.
Well, actually, I have a little hard time after seeing other unique, it's kind of hard for me to understand that it's unique.
Well, they mentioned size. It's 9188 square feet. This is exhibit
13.
Is that?
Exhibit 13.
13.
On the paper copy.
Yeah. It'll be fast if you just scroll down with the arrow. No, use your mouse. But there's an arrow there all the way on the right, the bottom arrow.
Yeah.
I guess you got to go up from there. It jumped quite a bit. Oh, there it is. Can you see my screen, Dick? Dick, can you read that? This one's bigger, look. And all these numbers in the center are the square footage. And their lot is lot 9, 9188.
Yeah, I could.
See, the one to the right, it's the same shape, lot 20.
Mm-hmm.
Looks like it's 2662. So, it's bigger. It's a lot smaller.
Okay, well, I'm going to look up. Maybe Carl has some questions or something.
Yeah, I have a few questions.
Yeah,
okay.
Please.
I just have a couple of questions for you. Did you receive any response from the neighbors after you had sent out the notice that you planned to build a garage?
I've had verbal discussions with the people across the street to Michelle Court, and verbal discussions with Long Cullen in, I guess, their lots 2, 3, 4, and 5, and the guy behind us who's lot 8. And they're just curious about what we want to do and how it's going to look. And we have pictures that we had a contractor that is going to give us a bid, and we've showed them the pictures. And our last meeting, the guy behind us from lot 8 came, and we showed him the pictures. And quite honestly, people are happy about it. Quite honestly, it would look nice. And there's another house on 2 Keystone that we have pictures of that has one that looks really nice.
Okay, and then I have another question. The front of the house, if you were looking with the front door, if you're able to go forward with this garage addition, you really still only see one garage door from the front house, and that would be on the garage / carport. I just wanted to confirm that.
Yeah.
One door faces one way and the other one faces the other
the
way.
Faces the side that does that. And so then, If the two-car garage is going to, it's going to have a side exit, I see in the architect's drawings that you have like the windows and the shutters, and do you plan to carry out that design?
Yes.
Okay. And then the driveway of the two-car garage will exit onto Cullen Drive?
Cullen,
okay. And that, I guess my last question is, and I think we already covered it on Exhibit 13, your lot is the one on Michelle Court. There's, I think as Harvey pointed out, I think it's hard to read these numbers here, but it's the 9188 square footage
right,
one. I just
lot 9. Yeah.
Lot 9, okay. So it's not really on a main street or anything. It seems like it's part of the neighborhood network of streets.
Yeah, there's no through traffic.
Through traffic through there.
It's no outlet. Cullinan ends there.
So the only people going back there are the people that live there or visiting.
And people that are lost.
Yeah, people
yeah,
we'll lost.
Get a few of those.
Okay. All right. Thank you. I don't have any further questions.
Now in terms of lot size, see lot 1 is 9,020 square feet. The lot next to it, 2, is 9,020 square feet. The one next to that is 9,173. But they're all rectangular lots. Yours kind of has the front corner cut off.
I
their frontage is 70, looks like 70 feet. All the others look like they're 80, except the one opposite down 20.
I'll go with the, me and unique. I wish it'd be a little bit more obvious.
I agree. I think the lot is unique, given just looking at the entire plat of how this neighborhood was divided up by the plats and the different sizes there, as well as the configuration of this particular plat for this home.
I agree. You have a motion to close the record?
I make a motion we close the record on Board of Appeals A545 at 1 Michelle Court.
I second it.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay, passes 3-0. Requests,
okay.
Which did you want to see it?
Oh no, you read it to us. That's fine.
That okay?
That's good.
I've seen it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not Brandon Lewis. And so it seems that we're all in agreement with granting it.
Yes.
Okay, so we need a motion.
Are we going to do both at the same time?
Are
we going to do both at the same time for the garage and for the,
yeah,
the jacuzzi?
Yeah, okay.
Kirk, do I need to? I'm going to make a motion on it.
Okay.
On the 545. Do I have to read that whole paragraph?
Yes.
Probably.
Here, yeah, read the resolution.
Read the resolution.
That's a little shorter.
Yeah, you're better off with that.
Right.
With this.
Yeah. Yeah, that's Exhibit 26. Yeah, Kirk did all the work. Why should he have to redo it?
Let it be resolved by the Board of Appeals of the City of Gaithersburg.
Gotta change the date.
Ooh. Yeah.
October
14th, 2010, Case A. 545, the petition of John and Jeanette Mertz requesting a 17-foot variance of the 30-foot front yard, a 7 and 6-tenths foot variance of the foot rear yard and a 10-foot variance of the 10-foot side yard required in section 24-32C of the City of Gaithersburg zoning ordinance for the construction of a garage addition and the continuation of existing structures at 1 Michelle Court, Lot 9, Block D, West Variety, Gaithersburg, Maryland, be granted.
Thank you. A second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Okay, passes 3-0.
Oh, yeah, that covers the continuation of the existing structure.
Yes.
What's the date of our next meeting, Kirk?
It is November.
Gonna be the 11th. That's a Veterans Day.
Oh.
No, it's the Thursday after that. I think it's the
18th.
November 18th. That's correct. I do have a calendar for that.
I have the 2011 one.
And that was throwing me off. I forgot that I also have the current calendar. Here we go, 22. November 18th. And the meeting after that is December 9th.
Yeah.
And then we have the proposed 2011 meeting.
Okay.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Thank
you.
In the draft, I'd like this two-step process to be kind of inserted there somewhere.
Okay. Do you want to send me the?
Yeah.
I mean, or we can
go through. We should probably go through any changes that you want.
On the resolution, the one we just.
Well, yeah, the draft we have here.
Oh, we're doing that now. No, because we didn't put any conditions in our discussion.
I would just take the statement that we have printed here and put the whole thing as a separate section just before the findings and conclusions.
Put this.
In other words, I would put it in right here. Just separates out. It talks about the Court of Appeals.
Okay.
Said this and this and this and this, and then somewhere. We need to say.
The board reviewed the Maryland State criteria.
Right.
Found that the application met the criteria.
Right.
Okay.
The two both steps, right.
Okay, so it sounds like I'll need to revise the draft and let you look at it.
Yeah, well, I don't think there's any other changes, so.
Okay.
Or you can just put it in.
Well.
And get, yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. I got it.
That might be the old one.
No, this is 26. It's 26.
Okay.
And the dates, you got down to your
Yeah, I changed it here. I didn't change it there.
Well, Mr. Noble.
Oops.
Was right on the wall on that one.
That was a good catch. Thank you.
What am I getting paid for?
Well, they're going to double your pay, I understand. Did you hear that rumor?
I have not heard that rumor.
Well, that's a good rumor.
Let me know when you're ready.
Oh, sorry, I was distracted here.
It's okay. No, I'm not rushing you.
So moving on to the next case.
The next is A546.
Correct, and this is an application by Richard Carmesino and Linda Gardner, and this is for a 7-foot variance of the required 10-foot side yard setback to permit the construction of a 2-car garage at 31 Cullinan Drive, Gaithersburg, Maryland. The property is located in the R90 medium density residential zone with setbacks as required by section 24-32C of the City of Gaithersburg Zoning Ordinance, also known as Chapter 24 of the City Code. And I believe both Mr. Carmesino and Ms. Gardner are here.
But just for the records, I just want you to know that we're legally married. I'm from the old school.
Well, you're on record with it now. And now, if you're both going to speak, but assume so, we have an oath. Do you solemnly swear and affirm under the penalties of perjury that the testimony you were about to give in this matter shall be the truth and nothing but the truth?
I do.
I do.
Please proceed. So we should change Linda Gardner to Linda Carmesino, or you're keeping the same name?
Well, I'm keeping the same name because we just fine. Got married 3 years ago
in our backyard. You don't need to explain it, I just need it for our records. Unless you want to explain it, then.
Well, no, it has to do with my school. I taught school for 25 years, and it goes back into the California state teacher's retirement, and just so many things were involved, so I did keep my name.
I can understand that.
And who would want Carmesino anyway? I'm kidding.
I would like to remind everyone that everything is being recorded.
Okay, did you wish to make a presentation?
Yes.
Yeah.
Dick is going to.
Okay.
We're applying for a variance to expand an existing carport into a two-car garage. And the concrete slab exists for it, so there would be no digging, excavating, and the unique feature, I think, of this project is the fact that it will have very little impact on our neighbors. And as you probably know, looking at the house from the street, we're bordered by a park. So that's all I have to say at this point. If you have any questions, I think I can answer them.
Thank you.
I don't have any at the moment.
The only question I have is, since you already have the concrete slab, are you going to extend the driveway to?
No, the existing driveway is there. Everything okay. Is there, coming off the slab. So there's the only construction would be the.
Okay.
Garage itself, nothing else.
Right, thank you.
Nothing.
Nothing.
That's a long driveway, 52 feet?
It's, the driveway is, yes, 53 feet, yes.
A lot of snow to enter a shovel, huh?
She shovels. No, I'm just kidding. But it's funny you should mention that, because when we moved from New England, I gave my snowblower to my daughter thinking I would never use it again. And then look what happened.
Was that concrete slab, are you the original owners of the house?
Pardon?
No.
Are you the original owners?
No, we're not.
No.
Was the concrete slab there when you bought the house?
Yes.
It's not concrete, it's...
It is concrete, huh?
No.
It's concrete.
Is it a hard surface?
It's a hard surface. It's black.
Oh, it might be blacktop.
No, that's the driveway.
It's a blacktop.
Yeah.
That's the driveway.
Oh, I'm sorry.
The slab is concrete.
Oh, the slab is, I'm sorry. I'm thinking of the driveway.
So is the garage gonna become part of a carport, or is it just building a single car garage?
No, we're adding on the roof line would correspond to the roof line of the carport, and we're just adding out from the carport to build an accommodation for one more automobile.
So you'll have, is it going to be enclosed?
Yes.
And what about the carport? Is that going to be enclosed?
Yes. A two-car garage.
So basically you're going to eliminate the carport in a sense and replace it with a two-car garage.
Yes, sir.
Yes.
Actually, we bought this home thinking we would just add on and we wouldn't have to go through any legalities like we're doing. And a lot of people said, well, just build it. But that's not our way of doing it. I'm sure that you'd come and tear it down had we built it.
So
or would you?
We'd have to leave that up to building.
She would.
Yeah, no, we'll have to leave it up to the city to determine about that.
I know.
So I'm just looking at the picture here. So that the shed that you have in the backyard there is that
that stands on the slab.
On the slab. So would that stay?
And it was there when we bought the
house. Okay. So the garage would basically be in front of where the shed is now.
Well,
the extension.
The garage would enclose where the shed is now.
Okay. And then when I'm thinking of a garage, it's going to be like a, I don't see any like architectural drawings here, but it would
no,
be a garage door kind of thing where you just
will have a door, garage door, to go up overhead. We were thinking that if we were granted the variance, I could submit an architectural rendering of what we want.
But you'd have to do that to get a permit.
Pardon?
You'd have to do that to get a building permit.
Oh, yes, I know. Yeah.
It's actually one of the nicest locations. It is, people say it's the nicest location in West Riding.
What we have to deal with, as you heard us talking about before, is this two-step process.
Right.
Which includes why the property is unique.
Well,
frankly, the statement doesn't really answer that question.
Okay. Well, I wrote down what was, it's not shared by any neighboring properties. That our two-car garage would not be shared by neighboring, would it? It wouldn't. Because
abutters.
The any abutters. Because
there's eight, is it seven, there's seven other properties that are also adjacent to the park, just like yours. So that isn't a unique feature for your house, because there's eight of them like that.
I guess I'm looking at it in a different perspective.
See, your lot is 80 feet wide. The one we just granted to the other places, there's 70 feet. Your lot's 10,300 square feet. That's a nice size lot. Well, I can't speak for the other board members, but based upon the record so far, I don't see how we can make a finding of it being unique. But I'd like to, if you're interested and if the board members agree, give you the same opportunity that we gave to the other folks when they were here last month.
Right.
I told them I didn't think what they provided was sufficient, and told them what we thought was missing.
All right.
And they come back. That doesn't mean we're going to grant it for you.
I'd like to
see you get another shot at it.
Mm-hmm.
If you want, I mean, certain things aren't clear. We can't talk to you, but I'm sure Kurt would be happy to give you guidance if they had questions. Wouldn't you?
Sure.
Yeah. In terms of uniqueness.
Right. I guess I don't understand the terminology unique.
Well, we'll give you a copy of course, the judges wrote this. You might not like that either, but
it's okay too.
It's the law, so
right.
We need to deal with it. But you know, just getting hit with this for the first time. This will give you a month to think about it, and
sure.
You know, see, I'm looking at the exhibit from the prior case because there's a nice parcel plat of West Riding area, which shows, we had it up there before, it shows all of the lots. You can see what the shapes are.
Right.
And what the frontage is, mm-hmm. And how many square feet it is. And that's always a good way to start looking for how it's different from the others. I mean, you need to look more than just there, but that's one way to start.
Right.
I
right now your carport is 15 feet. The carport is considered part of the building when we're measuring setbacks, isn't it?
The carport, anything with the roof is considered a structure.
Right.
And therefore it has to satisfy the required setbacks, yard setbacks.
It's 15 feet from the lot line, so it's fine the way it is now.
Correct.
One of the pictures that would be helpful would be one that was taken. Well, it says where number 5 was taken, but 5 doesn't show me what I'm looking for. It would be nice to see a photograph which showed the full carport and also part of the park that's right adjacent to your lot line.
Okay, do you have that?
I'm looking at the plat for the other other case we had.
Yeah.
But I'm just looking at the properties that are bordering the park here.
Right.
There's really only one other property that would even have that kind of access, which is looks like it's across the street. The others have access via a different part, like that they either have to go up Michelle Court or they have to go further down. Well, you see here, Cullen Drive, how it kind of goes around there, but it seems like there's only one other flat, one other property that is adjacent to the park with that kind of access, with a driveway frontage access there nearby.
It says add to existing carport to a two-car garage. That needs to be changed. That's, I don't think that's accurate.
So would you suggest they change it to state that they're going to convert the existing carport and concrete parking pad
right.
to a two-car garage?
Right.
Something to that effect. Okay.
Right.
Exhibit 7 and 8, you, I guess 7 is an elevation, that's right, showing dimensions of the carport also on both 7 and 8. So we see the carport and also the proposed addition, what the width of that would be. And how wide is the carport now, you know?
Do you know how
wide the carport is? Is that 12 feet?
It's approximately probably 14 feet, maybe 15.
Does anyone know what the typical two-car garage width is?
They can vary. Normally 18 feet is the minimum, the bare minimum you'd want to try and fit two cars in there. 20 feet is probably a lot more reasonable.
Yeah.
Sometimes it goes as wide as 22 or 24 feet. But
if that's 15, you're talking about 27 feet. And that sounds like a lot. Are you guessing at 15 for the carport?
No, now that I recollect, it's probably 12.
Mm-hmm. So you're talking about 24 feet. See, the thing is, we don't want to cramp you inside the garage, but on the other hand, if a 22 or 20 foot wide garage would be a reasonable build, then we wouldn't be encroaching that close to the park, because right now you can have a wall 3 feet away.
Exhibit 6 shows the carport, and I believe it says 12.3 feet, although it's a little bit tricky to read on the
Is that 12 or 18? I can't tell.
I'm pretty sure it's 12 because the next dimension over is clearly 14, and that one, the carport, looks much smaller than that. So assuming it's drawn to scale.
12, so it's probably 24.
Yeah. And this is from a house location survey, so this is probably to scale.
Yeah.
Since it was done by survey.
Anyway, you might want to rethink how far out you want to go. I guess the slab is 12 feet. That's why you want to
do that. Yes, the slab is.
But you don't have to have a wall at the edge of the slab.
Feet.
It could be inside of it.
No. I'm sorry. The slab is 10 feet. No, it is 12. I'm sorry. I misread. 24
feet.
Yeah. 24 feet deep.
Right.
12 wide.
So you might want to think about making it a little narrower so that you're not quite that close. Anyone have anything else?
No.
Do you all agree about this procedure?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I think just additional documentation.
Yeah.
As Harvey outlined, would be for further discussion.
Yeah.
The what?
Would be for further discussion. Just the additional documentation that that Harvey asked for.
And we'll leave the record open so that you can add exhibits and.
Okay. Now, when would that take place?
Well, it would take place on the 18th, November 18th.
All right.
Yes, November 18th.
Was that?
November
18th. I'm sorry, November 18th.
Mm-hmm.
And how much before should they be getting it to you? Because we need to get it the Friday before, right?
Correct, and I like to have
a little bit of time to put it together. Right.
So,
right.
Sometime, by November 8th will be good. So that gives me enough time to process it, and if you want to do it sooner, that's fine too, but November 8th at the latest would give me enough time to process it all, put it in the record, get the package ready for them for the next week.
Right. So you need the pictures, mm-hmm. And what else?
Take
and
pictures of the carport, of the adjacent park. What angle of the park?
Well, if you're standing at the front of your property,
right.
The corner that's at the front of your property and right adjacent to the park, and taking a picture straight back, that'll include part of the park and the carport and the slab.
Oh, okay.
Like to see, yep. Like to see the part of the park that's adjacent.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
All right. The measurements were a little bit more accurate.
Yeah. And it might be helpful if they can reduce the size 3 feet is awfully close to that line.
And then perhaps a copy of the plat of the neighborhood as was done in our last discussion. Maybe it was Exhibit 13, which shows all the different property sizes within, maybe Kurt can help you with that, mm-hmm. or?
Yes, I can provide
okay.
that for them.
Is that recorded in Montgomery County records? Or
yes, all plats are recorded in the
right.
county records, but we have copies of them.
You must have copies, yeah.
Yeah, and they're
right.
actually available online if anyone's interested in that as well. So.
But it was
could we access it?
I can show you how to access it, yes.
Oh, do I need a passcode? Or just
they
no
do
way?
Have
you
a passcode to keep people from spamming it, but yeah,
right.
yeah, I could send you the information of how to log in.
Yeah.
Just send me an email to remind me, and I will send that to you.
Okay, do you have any other business? I guess we're going to wait on the rule amendment to a meeting when Vic is here. It's
okay.
not a big amendment, but I'd like the full board to be here.
Right, and actually I wanted to discuss that a little bit because the current rules of procedure have a process of how you amend the rules of procedure.
Right. Right.
And one of the requirements is that someone from the board basically has to sponsor or has to suggest it. So I've prepared the suggested revision, so if you can review those and maybe somebody can eventually sponsor it.
Oh, okay.
The other problem right now though is that the rules of procedure require that for them to be amended, you have to have 5 members agree to amend it. So.
Well, we better let it wait a while then.
Right, and I think there's also a requirement of how long it has to be reviewed or something, but I just wanted to sort of get it in there and have you guys at least have an opportunity to look at it.
Right.
The sooner it gets done, the better from the city's standpoint, because that means we don't longer have to advertise these applications in a newspaper, so we can just
right.
publish
let
them
me,
on the city's website.
Just for a second.
Sure.
You're welcome to stay, but your part of the hearing is over.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome to stay if you want, but I don't know if you're going to find this very interesting.
Maybe next time I won't be as nervous.
See,
we
don't bite.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Good luck with
Thanks.
It.
Sure. And I'll be in touch.
So, Kirk, when do we see you again?
I'm in next week, so if you want to just call before you come,
all right. Okay.
We'll figure something out.
All right.
And we'll talk and try to get some more.
Again.
Okay,
thank you very much.
Thank you.
Good luck to
so
you.
So you're the city planner, and these are
the board. This is the Board of Appeals.
I don't know if we've ever had newlyweds before us before, actually.
Oh. I know.
And I got that in the record.
Bye now.
Thank you.
Sure.
Bye-bye.
Do you know why this change was made? And not in the rules. I know why it's in the rules because
correct.
The statute was changed. But do you know why they did that?
Well, it's precisely what I said. The city is trying to do two things. One is, you know, obviously it's going to save some money because no longer, you know, advertising in a newspaper. Every time you advertise in a newspaper, that does cost the city some money. So that was one part of it.
Don't the applicants pay for that?
No. The city pays for all the required advertisement. I mean, some way they're paying for it through the fee.
Why don't we change that? Raise the fee.
That's an interesting comment.
Because the reason is, frankly, I look for these in the papers, and I know a bunch of other people
that
do.
That's interesting.
They don't always drive by the property, and it means only the people who go by that particular property are going to know about it.
Right.
And it's a matter of, I think,
and,
the public's more interesting.
You know, staff has been discussing, you know, the changes that have been made to the ordinance already.
Right.
And also in the existing rules of procedure. And most of the staff feels that the rules of procedure, pretty much, if they're more restrictive, then we should be following those rather than the ordinance. There's been some discussion about that. But
well, that's not in the ordinance, the requirement for advertising?
The requirement has changed in the ordinance, in the zoning ordinance, to just say publish, which publish doesn't mean that you cannot publish it in a newspaper. It's just rather than saying publish in a newspaper,
yeah,
that portion of the newspaper was taken out so that it just says publish. And the intent is the city will just publish it on the website, basically, which also gives the city direct control over when it actually gets published. You know, we don't have to rely on a third party or another source. But that was all done, you know, through the city manager's office and whatnot,
yeah,
as somewhat of an initiative. And certainly if the Board of Appeals is, you know, would prefer to keep their current, you know, rules of procedure and would like to see things stay the way they are, then I think that's, you know, something you can.
But I don't feel comfortable having us have a different set of rules than, say, the Planning Commission has for terms of advertising.
Okay.
Because frankly, it doesn't make sense to me for us to have a different set of rules on that than they do.
Right, and I believe that the ordinance change was only for the Board of Appeals and for the Historic District Commission.
Not the Planning Commission.
I don't believe it was for the Planning Commission. I believe we still advertise in the newspaper.
So my question is, the city is assuming that all citizens have access to the internet in order to...
Well, remember...
In order to have the same notice as publishing in the paper.
Correct, but keep in mind that the property itself is also posted with a sign, so that the assumption is that the people who are most interested in these applications are the people who live close enough to actually see the sign and know, and then be aware that there's something going on.
Well,
at least that's
true, but there is a general public interest in changes that are being made in the city, I think.
So how much does it cost to publish this each?
That I'm not sure about. I could certainly find that out for the board. You know, I would suggest, perhaps foolishly without Trudy here, I would suggest that if the board does feel that they would like to keep the existing process that's in your rules of procedure, that you write a memo or have direct staff to write a memo, however the process goes, to the mayor and council, suggesting that even though it has changed to just say publish and it doesn't specifically say that it has to be published in a newspaper, that you would like to continue that for the following reasons. And I think you've, you know, presented some, you know, valid points on your end.
Do you know how the Planning Commission is going to handle that?
I don't think it's changing for them. I mean, I can double check with that. I'll find that out.
As far as for their stuff, then,
right, because
it's still being published.
I believe so, and I don't
newspaper.
Think it's right in the newspaper. And I don't think it's changing. And the same thing for the mayor and city council. And I believe that has to do with some state statutes, because I think before the Board of Appeals and the Historic District Commission could even change, I think there was something in the city's charter that had to be changed, and it had to be actually go through the state legislature or something to that effect. I'm not,
yeah,
you know, 100% certain of the whole mechanics of it, but
right.
I actually wish Trudy or someone else were here that was more involved with that.
I guess my other observation is some fees for the Board of Appeals are $200, some are $4,000.
Correct.
And certainly the fees that are $4,000 would certainly cover the publishing.
One would think, right.
Yeah, right, so I think just, you know, if it's a matter of expense, then we need to look at the fees, especially if since we're, you know, maybe cousins to the Planning Commission, you know,
correct.
If they've got that, then I don't think we should follow a different set of rules.
Correct, and I could also look to see when the fees were last increased for Board of Appeals applications. I have a feeling they haven't been increased for a few years at least.
Forever.
It's possible. We've talked about the need to clarify one of those so-called $4,000 fees, because it's not very clear in there what, you know, for certain telecommunication facilities, it's not explicitly clear. So we're hopefully in the next round of fee updates that will be adopted by the mayor and council that we you know, get that resolved. But at the same time, we certainly could propose, you know, an additional fee, or maybe this could just be a separate fee that, you know, is just paid for these applications,
yeah,
by everybody, you know, an extra $50 fee or something. I don't know how much it costs. I mean, it should probably be based on that.
As a board member, I just assume that I personally not get involved as a board member with the fees. I think that's for administration,
mm-hmm,
to handle.
Correct.
You can make suggestions, but
right. But the idea that, you know, if cost is an issue and that's what sort of spurred this change to the ordinance, then why not try to recoup that cost somehow, rather than, you know, not publishing it in a newspaper?
Yeah.
So, and again, I would suggest that, you know, perhaps we should work on a memo to.
Yeah,
you know,
we'll wait till the next meeting, maybe.
Okay.
Okay. I'd like to see it continue in the paper.
Yeah, I think we all do.
I think that's our concurrence there. That's if the planning commission's doing it, I don't see why we would follow a different methodology for notice of what's going on.
Okay, that's fine. I'll relay that to the other staff. There were a couple of changes aside from the newspaper part of it.
Really?
That were just typos, and there was also an incorrect code reference. So I think in terms of that, we probably still want to change those few minor things, even if we're not going to change the rest of the language.
Oh, sure.
So. And that was all.
Let's see. Anything else?
The meeting calendar. I did provide a proposed meeting calendar. So if everyone is in agreement with it.
That looks fine to me.
Okay. Then that'll be the official calendar.
When we go off the record, I'll tell you what happened to me and why you got that email.
Yeah.
You were wondering. Mm-hmm. So.
I make a motion, we adjourn.
I second it.
All in favor, aye.
Awesome.
Okay.
Now we're off the record.